Thank you for joining me for another Quick Hits Conversation. I'm Dr. Robin. With me today, I have John Mollison, who interviews old guys and draws their airplanes. He's also a PR executive, a filmmaker, and creates educational materials for schools. I have George Roach. He's a marketing consultant, a chief marketing officer type guy. And he says, usually he's doing all kinds of stuff that he can't even talk about. So that's so cool. And finally, we have Dr. Bob Choate, former Marine, former LAPD, martial arts guy, but all around really nice guy, loves to learn, has 12,000 books in his personal library, I think, the last time I asked. So today, the question I want to ask you is, how do you keep a team from migrating to the mediocre middle when they compromise? John, kick us off.
This question comes to play almost every project that I put together. And I've been thinking about this. And I'm going to speak from creative production, because there's a thousand ways that we can talk about compromise and the mediocre middle. Sometimes compromise is a good thing. Sometimes compromise is a bad thing. But in creative production, compromise tends to be something that's negative. And if I've got a production team, I can have 5, 6, sometimes 10 people involved in making a film. And getting everybody together to build consensus really can get to that demoralizing, quote unquote, mediocre middle, where everybody just makes a decision just to keep things moving along. Mm. And when we are going to be judged on our production acumen, how well we tell a story, et cetera, the word compromise and mediocre, they're anathema. I mean, we have to avoid that. Mm. So one thing that I do, because I get to be the production boss, I mean, I get to be the person, you know, produced by, I make sure that authority is very well clearly delineated and stated. And then that authority is known that ultimately one person makes a call. So if we have production teams, whether we're scoring music or maybe we're putting cameras in airplanes or something to that effect, whenever we have a subset of our production, one person is in charge and that one person makes the call. Mm-hmm. Now that keeps us from mediocrity. It may not keep us from making a bad decision, but at least we don't get the ennui or the doldrums that happen when, well, we got everybody together, we took the best out of everything, and now we have mediocre. Mm. So for me, it's authority and delegating that authority clearly and then respecting it. Mm.
I think you're onto something in that in this situation, compromise is not good. It is the result of the failure of a process to put the brightest people you can in a room and come out with an idea nobody really endorses. We think that the idea behind a group outcome, a group decision, is to come up with something that's valuable, viable, and endorsed by all the team members. And when the process breaks down, sometimes compromise starts just in order to get to it being endorsed when you're finished. Hmm. And that trades on the idea that it's viable, because it probably won't work. And eventually it won't be endorsed when people leave the room, because they'll know the best ideas lost out in the compromise. So the idea of aiming toward compromise is only a bad result.
Yep. One of the things, having been on elite teams, we always had the team leader, which was very important. And it was very, very important for us to have an objective and a mission in order to accomplish the objective or the mission. Each person had to bring out their best. There was no mediocre. If you go towards that, you're kicked out. If you even discuss mediocre, you're kicked out. Mm-hmm. It's going towards that mission, making sure that whatever we do in terms of training or whatever process is used, step by step, getting there to accomplish that. And the only way to accomplish it at the best and highest way is to bring your absolute best to the table.
Well, I have a question about what is mediocrity. And I work in a world where opinions and ego is huge. And for me, I know exactly what mediocrity is. But there are other people in the room who may not be defining it the way I do. And that's always been a challenge. How do I come up with a uniform definition of mediocrity? So I could look at, I mean, if all four of us were working on a film project, that if I were to bring it out, everybody would go, okay, oh, that's what mediocrity is. We're going to avoid that.
So there's a company in Westchester, Pennsylvania that studies all of this, right? the group dynamics and people working together. And they concluded that the reason people have to feel like they have to compromise and can't get to alignment is there are several simple reasons. And definition of terms are operating from a different dictionary. If mediocrity was a word, so is full employment or ideas for a strategy or all these other words that
are clear, right?
And so the clarity is there. And the other reason people don't come to an agreement or come to an alignment, somebody has information the other person doesn't have. However, if you look at a group of people, sometimes they'll conclude that they're different than me. They think one way and I think another way. And that's rarely the point of view if you've got your goals and objectives established. And so you need a process that will allow you to get back to the goals and objectives and overcome what is the definition issue or a data issue more often than it is anything else.
And I think that mediocrity is anything I know for sure, absolutely, I can do without any stretch and without any risk of failure. Because if I'm not willing to risk failure, I know I'm doing something that's not a stretch.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to what John said, because I think ego comes into play in a big way. One of the things I learned in the Marines is that when you start bringing ego into the mission, the mission will fail. And we realize this in every training that we had, every training towards a specific mission. And we know that if you don't operate as a team, if you don't bring your best to the team itself, and this is despite like everybody's going to have their individual expertise, their individual differences, but still you're bringing that to the team. One thing I learned when I interviewed John Wooden back in 1995, when we invited him out to speak for an education foundation that I was on a board of directors for, was that John did the same thing. He wanted to make sure that egos just weren't there, yet he wanted to bring out the best in each player. Even if the player didn't seem up to par to everybody else, he knew that if they gave their best effort, that was important for the team overall. Because if they're a bench sitter, but they're giving their best effort and everybody sees it, it's going to bring everybody else up as well. If you don't challenge yourself to that next level, guess what? You're going to end up continually being mediocre, and that mediocre will spread to everybody else.
There's a trick, though. Go to that quote that Thoreau wrote, that the masses of men live lives of quiet desperation. Mm. Most people haven't had an opportunity in their life to be the best. Now, in the Marines, you're cultured with that. You have the heritage, the history. You go through terrible training, and all of a sudden at the end, you're a Marine and you're brought into that family. Mm. But most people don't know what best is for themselves. Mm. And I think that's another fight of mediocrity. Most people know how to knuckle under and get along and give up. And sometimes when it comes to running companies or running organizations or projects, that's the last thing you want. You want the best, but most people don't know what it is. And as a leader, I would hope that people come to the table with some sort of success that they know what they can do. But I've found that more often than not, most people don't. I think your continual bringing up of the word, bring your best, is crucial to overcoming mediocrity and the ilk that it creates.
Well, I still think what you're going to end up with is that there isn't a one process that people have found that is the right way to lead a group, right? Until just most recently, everybody was trained to how to lead a group in a very different way. And when you got in a group and you didn't like it, you invented your own way to lead that group, short of the military, who may have defined it differently. In the business world, that's not the way it happens, right? Those skills to bring a group of people to a central point of alignment are not shared. Post-it notes and voting dots and brainstorming rules were written a long, long time ago,
right?
And yet they're out of date, right? Mm. The new processes lead you to an outcome in a very different way and get to a result that people can buy into that is endorsed, but also viable, and includes some of the things you're talking about, like the idea that anonymous content can help allow for debate, eliminates rank in the room, or the bully in the room that bolsters up and says, I got to have it my way, right? All those elements that get in the way of a group coming out with an aligned solution can be eliminated. these days with new processes.
So I'm going to have to cut us off there because that is our 10 minutes. But I do think what we've come away with is that there are other ways, other things that you can do. So thank you for having this conversation with me. We certainly didn't solve it, but I learned a lot.
No.
And I look forward to talking to you each again really soon.